Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Fan for Racing, NASCAR and Race Talk. This is Monday night, April the 10th. And once again, we have a great show lined up for our listeners tonight. Starting with, in our winner's circle at 8:40 p.m. Eastern Time, we'll have Chad Finley on the show. He is the race winner of the ARCA Racing Series Music City 200 at Nashville this weekend. So really looking forward to talking to Chad about that. This is a great win for him. It's the first in the ARCA Racing Series and a really big deal. We'll talk more about that with him when he comes on the show here at 8:40 p.m. tonight. Joining me right now is our co-host, Sal Segala. Welcome to the show, Sal.
Oh, good evening, Sharon. Thank you.
I was just going through the lineup for tonight, mentioning that Chad Finley is going to join us at 8:40. At 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Sal, we're going to have a post-race audio from Texas Motor Speedway for both of the race winners there, Eric Jones winning the Xfinity Series race and Jimmy Johnson winning the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race there this weekend. And at 9:30, let's talk about your guest at 9:30 tonight.
Yeah, our guest at 9:30 is Carlos Vieira. He races for 5150 energy drink, also for Camel. He's Derek Thorne's teammate with Camel Motorsports. And, you know, the thing that makes Carlos unique is the different charities that he takes care of during the year. It's amazing all the work that he does.
Exactly. We mentioned the autism awareness that he does, but there's so many other things that he does. And Sal, we'll talk about that when he comes on. He'll be on during our 9:30 half hour, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we're really looking forward to talking to Carlos Vieira. And he also races a car, like you said,
yeah,
with Derek Thorne in the Spears Southwest Tour.
Yeah, actually, Derek Thorne's teammate in the Spears SRL, Tour.
Exactly. Okay, so before we get started tonight, Sal, I want to make a real quick announcement, and I'll have more about this a little bit later, but I want to announce that we have a new writer at Fan for Racing. And joining us, and his first article will be up either later tonight or first thing tomorrow morning. MJ Huseman is going to be joining our Fan for Racing crew. And his first article is Forging Ahead. He's going to be talking about how well Ford has been doing so far this season after kind of struggling for a few seasons. They're kind of coming back pretty strong. So really looking forward to having Michael M.J. Huseman with us on Fan for Racing. So watch for that article to come out tomorrow. It has some pretty interesting stats and information. So wanted to make that quick announcement, I'll have a little bit more later on tonight, but we'll wait for the end of the show for the rest. So, Sal, as far as racing this weekend, there was a lot of racing this weekend with the Can-Am East, the ARCA Racing Series, and then Xfinity and Cup at Texas Motor Speedway this weekend. What was the highlight for you?
You know, I think one of the highlights, of course, it's always my favorite, which is always going to be, doing everything at Irwindale. You know, we had our race this past weekend, and it was we've seen a first-time winner. We had him on the show before, Ryan Barr, just 15 years old, and won his first late model race. That was a highlight. And also the other highlight, I think, which I know we're going to be getting into in a couple seconds, would be Cole Custer finally breaking that, you know, that getting that monkey off the shoulder, you know, getting a top five finish in the Xfinity race. That was really, really huge.
That was huge, and that was a really a great breakthrough result for Cole Custer. We've been seeing him right on the verge of making that happen, and this weekend he was up there with Austin Dillon, Kevin Harvick, Ryan Blaney, and Eric Jones, and that was a great finish for him. I also thought it was great to see Kyle Benjamin win the K&N East race this weekend out at Greenville Pickens. That was a back-to-back victory for Kyle Benjamin with MDM Motorsports, and I thought that was great to see happen as well.
Yeah, it was. You know, it's always good, you know, see a driver, you know, go back-to-back wins, you know. Especially, you know, in one of the lower tier series, you know, they're trying to, you know, make a name for themselves, you know, trying to make it, you know, into the, you know, whether it be Truck Xfinity Cup or even into the ARCA series.
Exactly. And speaking of the ARCA series, as you know, we have the winner of the Music City 200 at the Fairground Speedway at Nashville in the ARCA Racing Series coming on here in just a couple minutes, Chad Finley. And, you know, this was a really big victory for Chad. You saw him race at the Snowball Derby in December. That ended up being a disappointing finish for him. So that had to feel pretty good for Chad to come back and win this weekend at Nashville. And I was pretty excited to see that happen for him as well.
Oh, yeah. It's always, you know, anytime, you know, you can move up, you know, and win a race, you know, the caliber of an ARCA series race, you know, as everybody knows, you know, the competition there, you know, is it's stiff, it's tough, you know, it's not like, you know, I mean, a lot of people look at it as a feeder series, you know, into NASCAR, but you know what, I kind of put it up there with the NASCAR Cat Wheel Truck Series, you know, for the fact, you know, that they do pit stops, you know what, if they are long races, they race on the big tracks, and the fact that they that the drivers there are just, I mean, they put on a heck of a show.
Yeah, they really do. And then the other thing, you know, the fact that Chad won this weekend, he's joining a group of father-son duos that have won in the ARCA Racing Series. His dad, Jeff Finley, won in DuQuoyne State Fairgrounds on dirt in 1999. So with Chad's first ARCA Series victory this weekend, he joins other duos like Bob and Brian Keselowski, Kyle and Adam Petty, Bobby and Davey Allison, Bill Sr. and Frank Kimmel, Bill and Billy Venturini, Tracy and Billy Leslie, Jerry and Randy Churchill, Jack and Bobby Bowser. So those are the Bowsers were the only father-son champions in ARCA racing history. But that's an elite group to become a part of with Chad's victory this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you can get something like that, you know, it's always, you know, it's always a big one, you know, especially when, you know, when you can team it up with your father, you know, a father and son, one like that.
Exactly, and his dad's a big part of the team that went to Victory Lane this weekend as well. So we'll talk to Chad about that when he joins us. I know he's real busy on the radio circuit tonight after winning this weekend, but we are expecting him here shortly to talk about that victory. So, you know, ARCA Racing, they were on a break since Daytona, so it seems like it's been a while since they've been racing. So that's the other thing. It was good to see them back in action, similar to what happens with the Camping World Truck Series. They're off for such a long time, and now they're taking another break. And everybody's on break this coming weekend, Sal, with Easter coming up this Sunday.
Yeah, you know, and how about a little shout out to our friend Riley Herbst, who we've had on the show before when he was running the Can-Am West Series. He finished seventh. you know, and then of course Christian Eckes, who won the Snowball Derby this year, who we had on the show also earlier in the season, finished third. You know, so I mean, you know, those are really good finishes for both of those very young drivers.
Absolutely. Let's go over the top five right now because you mentioned a couple of them. Chad Finley, of course, won. Cal Weatherman came in second. You mentioned Christian. Austin Terrio, who's leading the series point standings right now, is fourth. And Mason Mingus, who is standing in for Justin Fontaine, who is recovering after a bad incident at Daytona. He's in recovery right now. They expect him to come back early June, but Mason Mingus is driving that car for him in the interim period of time. So he came home with a fifth-place finish, so that was good to see as well.
Oh, yeah, it was a good, he wouldn't start, going down to, the top 10, Zane Smith, 10th, and, another regular on our show, Dalton Sarge, finishing ninth. But it was a good, well-rounded, top 10. It's always neat when we can see a top 10 and we can pick the drivers that have been on the show.
That is so true.
It was over half of the top ten have been on the show.
Well, Sal, we're going to add another driver to that list, and that is Chad Finley, the race winner from this past weekend at the Music City 200 at Fairground Speedway at Nashville. Chad, that had to be a rewarding feeling after the disappointment that you experienced at the Snowball Derby in December. To bring your car to victory lane this weekend had to feel especially good.
Oh, man, you got to start off by twisting the knife on me already. I'm just messing with you. Yeah, this feels good. Snowball Derby was a heartbreaker for sure. I feel like I promised myself after the Snowball Derby, like the first week after, that I wasn't going to talk about it anymore. And every time I talk to somebody, that's the first thing that gets brought up. So,
sorry about that.
It helps a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's not the Snowball Derby. So we're looking forward to getting back there whenever we do, hopefully this year. But it felt great. We built this ARCA program up in about a year and a half or so, and we've won now in our fourth ever start. So that's something to be really proud of, and we're looking forward to the 2017 season for sure.
Absolutely, and a victory this weekend certainly has to help your season. Now, you forged a new partnership with David Calabrese and Calabrese Motorsports. Talk a little bit about that relationship and, the impact that you feel that it's had on your team.
Yeah, so I met David when I moved down to South Carolina probably, it's been about 3 years ago now, and I was somewhere else, and the team that I was with was helping him, and that's kind of how I came across David. And then fast forward to last season, my crew chief, Bruce Cook, is really good friends with David Calabrese's father, so that's kind of ended up tying us all together. They purchased a building down in Mooresville, or they're renting it. I'm not sure on that, but that's where we keep all of our ARCA stuff at, and they run some K&N stuff out of there, some Super Late Model stuff. They're actually debuting Super Late Model this weekend at Hickory. Going to help them out as much as I can over the phone. But, we've kind of been tying everybody together. They're a good family from New Jersey or from Michigan. Both of our families own towing companies. So, I mean, there's a lot of similarities there. It's just a really good opportunity to keep all of our race cars under the same roof and work really well together.
Absolutely. Now, joining us is the co-host, Sal Segala. You heard him chuckle there a few minutes ago. He's got some questions for you as well, and we'll kind of toss the baton back and forth here as we continue through our next few minutes here.
All right, sounds good.
First of all, Chad, I want to congratulate you on the win. I won't talk about what Sharon had brought up earlier, we'll kind of put that's old news, because now, you know what? You probably have one of the coolest trophies in all of ARCA racing.
Yeah, the guitar is something I came really close to getting a couple of years ago in a Super Late Model race. down at Nashville. We had a really good car at the All-American 400 a couple years ago and had a little mishap under caution and derailed our chances there. But, yeah, the guitar is something that's really cool, that's really unique. Really, Nashville's the only one who does that. So it's special. Anytime you win a race, it's super important, super special, and you always look forward to the next one. So really fortunate to be able to do what we did on Saturday night, and we're looking forward to our next ARC race, and hopefully we can do the same thing.
So let's talk about that last pit stop a little bit, you know, and the gutsy call that it took, you know, to push in and do victory lane. I know a lot of drivers have tried it, you know, it's failed, you know what, but when it does work, you know what, you reap the fruits of the, you know, going into victory lane, you know, and having everybody say, man, gutsy call, he made the right one, you know what, and you're on top of the world.
Yeah, so my crew chief, Bruce Cook, him and I kind of had a plan before the race ever started. And, you know, when he first told me about it, I wasn't really on board with it because everything I've ever done, we've always done what everybody else does. We end up okay. But for whatever reason, our car was a little bit off to start the race. So I'm happy we did what we did, obviously. Obviously, it paid out very well for us. But the first pit stop there, we just worked on the car. We didn't put tires on it. And it was our plan to kind of just, you know, ride around anywhere from 9th to 15th, whatever was comfortable, and we could save our tires for the end. It's really, really hard to go 150 laps on a set of tires like we did on the left sides anyways. So, you know, Nashville's a really old, worn-out racetrack, a lot of character, and it just really tears your tires up. You got to be smooth on the throttle for 150 laps. And so that was my plan, you know. I didn't really want to push ourselves up there. I felt like we had a top-five car either way. But obviously, you know, if you want to win races, and that's what we came there for. We're not trying to get points, stuff like that. We came there to win the race. And so we decided to do something different, and you know, luckily it paid off for us. If you look at trends and stuff like that, last year, you know, there was one caution at lap 106, and that's – or lap 86, sorry. That's when the field took four tires just because of how the race was going, or it took two tires. And Josh Williams took four, and the race went green the rest of the way. So he was able to win the race on four tires. So you fast forward to this year. This year is a little different feel for me, I thought. Watched the race on the way down there and things like that. But I just felt like there were so many cars that were really close. I felt like the racing would be a little bit closer than it was last year. I felt like that would maybe, you know, cause a few more accidents, and that's what it did.
You know, and you know what, we all always ask, you know, the drivers, you know, what's the difference, you know, between the super late and, you know, and driving, you know, an ARCA car or when they get it to the Cap World Truck Series. But you know what? I'm gonna ask something different on this one, because tire wear is huge in a Super Late model race. You know, for the fact, you know, that, you know, most of, you know, that, you know, because of the way the rules are set up. But with, you know, the ARCA race, you know, of course, you know, you got to get the pit stop with the tires. So how much of that experience of, you know, having to save your tires from a Super Late model race do you think it helped you when you got especially a track like Nashville that has that abrasive surface?
Well, I really learned how to save tires back in 2010 at Rockingham Speedway during an ARCA race. You know, the first year went there as a young kid, didn't know no better. We sat on the pole, and I didn't know any better. So when the green flag came out, I just took off. And, you know, Rockingham is one of the worst racetracks on tires, so I found myself quickly in trouble there. So when I came back the next year, that's when I kind of, you know, learned about the tire management thing. And when you run late model races nowadays, you know, from state to state, track to track, it's always different no matter where you go. So, but the Snowball Derby is a place that really learns you to take care of your tires. You know, that's one of the most abrasive racing surfaces that there is. And that's maybe where I picked up on a little bit. But the funny thing is when we unloaded at Nashville, I actually really struggled just because I've been in the late model so long and so many times and haven't short track raced that much in bigger cars. You know, anytime we go run a bigger car race with only a ton of track, you know, bigger than a mile. So I might have hurt us a little bit throughout practice and probably the first quarter of the race, just trying to get, you know, used to everything again and how the cars slow down and what lines to run, which is something I used to be really good at. So finally, I figured it all out there about halfway, and, you know, we were able to get from, like, 19th or 16th or whatever we were riding up to 7th or 8th, and some of the young kids in the field were racing really hard. So I felt like, you know, that we probably shouldn't be up there just because it's harm's way. And so we kind of backed off a little bit and, you know, chose the road around back there. But tire management is always important, especially when you come to Nashville, and I'm just lucky we were able to play the strategy the right way and pull the guitar at the end of the night.
Yeah, that is awesome. I'll definitely put it back over to Sharon.
Now, Chad, I want to talk a little bit about you and your dad, because with your win this weekend, you're joining kind of an elite group of father-son duos that have won in the ARCA Racing Series. Bob and Brian Keselowski, Kyle and Adam Petty, Bobby and Davey Allison, Bill Sr., and Frank Kimmel, Bill and Billy Venturini, Tracy and Billy Leslie, Jerry and Randy Churchill. Jack and Bobby Bowser are the only ones that have won a championship in ARCA. Talk about having your dad be a big part of your team this year. Well, throughout your career, really.
Yeah. Dad's always been a part of my racing no matter what. That's the reason why I'm in the position that I am, for sure. You know, he ran ARCA for a long time and should have won way more races than what he did. Just things didn't work out, or they were so close and had things go wrong. And, you know, I still remember a lot of those things as a young kid back then. So to see what he went through and, you know, to kind of like lean on him, it's been really big. But my dad, at the end of the day, he's the one who owns all of our stuff. And he put the pieces and put the people in play for us to succeed. And I'll forever be thankful for that. And I hope, you know, we can win more than one race this year, because I think we're going to run five more with our roster that we have right now. The only plan is for five more races. So I want to win all five. I know that's greedy. I think we can do it. I think we showed that throughout last year and starting this season off already. So, you know, we're looking forward to everything that lies ahead of us, and I think it's going to be a good year.
Okay. Now, you mentioned you're going to be racing five more races. What are the next five races you're going to be participating in?
Ooh. I hope you wouldn't ask that question. I don't really know all of them.
I'm
I know
sorry.
Toledo. Sorry, Toledo, Michigan, Lucas Oil, Kansas, and Chicagoland. Those five.
Oh, okay, that's fantastic. Okay,
and
hoping
to find a sponsorship to do a couple more.
Okay, and that's the next question I was going to ask is with the race win, and if sponsorship were to open up, is it possible that we can see you racing more in the ARCA Racing Series? Because your win this weekend actually put you eighth on the series point standings. So it would be great to see you contend toward that championship if that's at all possible.
Yeah, for sure. We would love to do that. You know, anytime you get to go racing, it's always a bonus. You know, it's really expensive nowadays, and that's just how it is. But we would love to do it if anybody wants to get on board. As you can see, we had nothing on the quarter panels this weekend, nothing on the trunk. We do this deal on a very limited budget. We spend probably a quarter where everybody else spends to go to the racetrack. We got, you know, we don't really even have any full-time employees. We have a couple guys that come in, you know, every couple of days. And, you know, we just do the best we can with what we got. And I would love to get a sponsor and, you know, run the full season or run a couple truck races or something like that, and we're always entertaining that idea. You know, anybody who wants to help us out, it doesn't matter if it's $100 or $100,000. You know, they're more than welcome to help us out.
Every dollar helps for sure, and I know a big part of the win this weekend was the support that you got from the Auto Value Certified Service Centers this weekend as well. So let's make sure we shout out to them. Huge, huge congratulations to you and your victory this weekend. And before you go, Chad, I want to make sure we let fans know how they can follow you and if there's any racing that you're doing in between ARCA events, they can keep track on social media or your website.
Yeah, for sure. So next week I'm on my late model actually at Toledo Speedway for the CRA Super Series race. We ran second there last year, so we're hoping to improve that by one position. And every now and then I'll get a dirt car up there. We were fortunate enough last year to drive my family team and win the biggest dirt race in the state of Michigan last year called the Woodtick 100 up at Merritt Speedway. So trying to find a ride for a few dirt races this year. As of right now, I don't have anything lined up. My family still owns the car, but they hired a driver because they want to race for a championship this year, and I can't do it because of our ARCA schedule and a couple of things I'm doing. So you can follow me on ChadFinley.com or on Twitter at Chad_Finley and also on Facebook at Chad Finley.
Okay. Well, Chad, we hope this is the first of more visits here on Fan for Racing Radio. We really enjoyed talking to you, and once again, congratulations on your victory at Nashville. We thought that was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you guys for having me, and I'll be on any time.
Okay. Take care, and good luck in your next race.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Okay, you too. Good night. All right, Sal, that was Chad Finley, and he was kind of fun to talk to. he was busting my chops there at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, he was. He was like, we kept bringing it up for
him. Well, because it's part of the story, you know. It's a comeback story, and he did a really great job, you know, of bringing his car to victory lane this weekend. He had a lot of really good things. I didn't get a chance to ask him about this, but he had some really good things to say about his competitor as well. Kyle Weatherman was racing for the victory as well. And he in victory lane, he mentioned that he really appreciated Kyle Weatherman racing him very cleanly. So that was really good to see, too, some really good sportsmanship in the race.
Yeah, it's always nice, you know, when the competitors, you know, can get out of the car, you know, and they, you know, go up and shake their hands, you know what, and, you know, to, you know, talk good stuff, you know, about each other, you know what, and, you know, there's always another fight, you know, another day, you know, to, you know, it could be your day, but it's always nice to see and hear it, you know what.
Absolutely. Now, Sal, you know, we had a lot of racing this weekend, as we mentioned earlier, a lot of different events, and we did some shout-outs of several drivers that did pretty well in the Can-Am race, as well as the ARCA Racing Series, and you know, there were some drivers who did really well in that, some other drivers that I wanted to shout out in the Can-Am Pro Series race out at Greenville Pickens. Ronnie Bassett Jr., who won at New Smyrna, came in second. So the point standings are going to be pretty tight there. Todd Gilliland, you know, he won in the Can-Am West. He came in third in the East this weekend. Harrison Burton finished fourth, with Tyler Dipple finishing fifth in that Can-Am West or East race at Greenville.
Wow, yeah, those are big names. You know what? And you know the series. You know, it's always been a good tough series. You know, and I think a lot of you know, because you know you're around the heart of NASCAR country right there. You know, and the drivers, they want to race. You know, they want to race against the best. You know, and, but of course, you know, the budget, you know, it's always going to come into play. You know, where are we going to, you know, where are we going to race? Where can we afford to race at? You know,
exactly.
So that's always a big thing, you know. And you know, the thing with Todd, I think the thing with Todd was that, you know, was David holding him back, you know, and not, you know, Lisa, you know, and letting him, you know, sit, you know, in the East Series another season, which is, you know, you see how tough that series is.
Exactly. And as far as the point standings go, Ronnie Bassett, who has a first and second place finish, is leading the series point standings with 89 points. Harrison Burton is second, just 8 points behind him, followed by Todd Gilliland with 77 points. Hunter Blaze is fourth. Reed Wilson is fifth. So I think we might see, as you mentioned, some tight points battles in both of those series because I think we're going to see some really good racing in both series this season. So a lot to look forward to there. Let's go ahead and move over to the Xfinity Series race that took place on Saturday. Eric Jones won that race, and we mentioned that Cole Custer came home with a top five finish. Some other drivers who finished in the top 10, Darrell Wallace Jr. in sixth, William Byron, a lot of people thought he might pull off a win here this weekend. He finished 7th, Ty Dillard 8th, Matt Tift is 9th, and Elliott Sadler 10th. The Xfinity Series really has some good things going on with this race this weekend as well.
Oh yeah, then they had a full 40 car field, which is even more impressive, because I mean we know in the past they really haven't been filling up the fields. And I think a lot of it is because of the new with the new layout, the new surface. Of course, we had a good sized handful of Cup drivers, that wanted to race, to get that extra experience, on the track. But even the some of the Xfinity drivers, who were part-timers, came out and, made it a really good solid event. Like you said, Eric Jones came away with the win. Ryan Blaney finished in 2nd and Harvick finished in 3rd.
Right. And then, as far as the point standings, Elliott Sadler still has the lead in points with 225. And behind him is William Byron, with 219 points, followed by Ryan Reed in 3rd, Darrell Wallace Jr. in 4th, and Justin Allgaier in 5th. So, again, some impressive names in that top 5.
Yeah, there was a lot of impressive names, and it's going to be, I think this season's going to go down to the final race, final couple of races, who's going to be the big contender. And it's
going to
be exciting.
Okay, now I do have some audio, post-race audio here from Eric Jones, his crew chief, Chris Gabehart, and, of course, the team owner, Joe Gibbs. It's just under 6 minutes, so it's not very long. So we'll listen to the entire segment here with Eric Jones right after winning the My Bariatric 300, Solutions 300 at Texas Motor Speedway.
All right, we're now joined in the media center by the winner of My Bariatric Solutions 300, Eric Jones, and his crew chief, Chris Gabehart. For Eric, this is his 2nd win at Texas in the Xfinity Series, and he's finished in the top 5 in all 5 Xfinity Series races that he's run here at Texas Motor Speedway. Eric, just kind of talk about picking up the win. You guys kind of did it on the last pit stop, and you kind of drove away from him.
Yeah, we were able to... number one, we had a really good car all day and thought we were a little bit better than the 22 most of the time. On that 2-tire stop, we kind of lost some ground to him and felt like he was a little bit better on the backside. We got a little bit tight, and then we ended up getting the lead back on that next pit sequence, taking 4, getting the car a little bit better. And really the rest of that last run, I was pretty happy with the car. Never really fought too much, a few minor handling issues, but we were able to really get through lap traffic and keep a good buffer between us and the 22 and have him keep fighting with lap cars, and that was enough to keep us out front.
Chris, kind of talk about that last pit stop there, kind of got you guys going.
Yeah, so, so often the last green flag pit stop can determine the running order and then a lot of times the finish. So Eric's worked really hard over the last year or two of getting on pit road hard and off pit road hard and in the box hard and all the things that are kind of behind the scenes of driving a race car fast. So it was pretty neat to watch him overtake Blaney during that pit sequence, and then from there it's just a matter of riding it out and not making mistakes, and he did a great job of that.
And we're also joined by a team owner, Joe Gibbs, and Joe's their 2nd Xfinity Series win this year. Kyle Busch picked up one earlier this year. Just kind of talk about getting another win today and talking about Eric, the fact he's got 5 top fives in 5 races here in Texas.
Yeah, it's pretty stout, I gotta tell you. Well, first of all, I just want to say thanks to GameStop, and they've been such a great partner. Of course, this couldn't have happened at a better time if we planned it. They had their Bob Puzam is here. Paul was traveling, Paul Raines, but for us, it's just a huge deal. They've been such a great partner. Our Xfinity program is so important to us at Joe Gibbs Racing. Obviously, Eric came up through there. Our young guys get a chance to come in and race there. Chris has done a fantastic job today, and our crew chiefs have all stepped up from Xfinity. And so that program to us and a lot of our sponsors is key. I can't say enough about Eric this year, whether it's a Cup car or over here in Xfinity. I mean, he's killing it right now. And just thrilled to be a part of it. It means a lot to us, and I just called JD and thanked him and everybody back there. JD started the program out, and we got a lot of people back home that are really proud today.
All right, we're going to open up with questions. We'll start with Drew back here.
Yeah, Eric, Drew Davidson, 4-star Telegram, 2X Xfinity Series wins, the truck win. You graduated here. Do you feel like a born-again Texan right now?
Yeah. It's been a good track for me. You know, it's the first time I came here actually was my graduation, and that wasn't really a great day. I didn't think that was, it was going to be a track that I would enjoy. And then ever since then, man, it's just kind of clicked. You know, I always felt really comfortable on the old track here, really felt like I needed or knew what I needed the car to do and was able to really communicate that well. And honestly, even with the new surface here, felt like I was able to get back what the car needed. Definitely more challenging, too, on this surface than the old surface, but, a good day of learning and really a good day from JGR of getting their cars a lot better. You know, we came a long way from a couple weeks ago at Fontana where I didn't feel like we didn't have anything for the 22 car, and then now we've come here and really felt like we had the dominant car all day that was better than the 22.
All right, right back here.
Ryan O'Hara, Performance Motorsports Network and Race Chaser Online. Which surface do you like better, and what did you learn for tomorrow's race given your practice crash Friday afternoon?
That's a tough question. Which surface? I mean, how can I say I don't like this one? I mean, we've won a race on it now, so I like both of them, I guess, so far. You know, it's this is definitely more challenging, especially since, you know, the weekend started getting it worked in, and I got too aggressive on Friday and took out our primary car. So it's a nice bounce back over the weekend here of getting a win today. And, you know, we got a long ways to go tomorrow, but, it's hard to say I don't like this track so far. It's been all right for me.
Reed, right down front. It's coming to you.
Going to be a big deal. You kind of saw as the day went on, I know we didn't have a ton of restarts there. We ran out that last 100 laps green, but the restart before that, we were in fourth, and I believe we cycled out fifth. So, you know, the top was kind of coming around. I don't see, you're not going to get up there and pass people, but, you know, I think you could maintain. I started passing some lap cars up there as the race went on. So it came around. That's only going to get better tonight. Hopefully they drag the top lane, but, you know, it got a lot better today, and even with cup cars running out tomorrow, it's just going to continue to get better and better, but it'll still be really important.
Other questions? Okay, guys, congratulations. Thank
you. Hey, I would give a shout-out to Interstate Batteries, Norm. Every time our founding sponsor came here 25 years ago with a sheet of paper in my hand, I had nothing, no driver, no nothing, and Norm was dumb enough to say, let's do this. So thank you, Norm.
Okay, that was pretty fantastic. You know, that was not an easy win because a lot of the drivers went to that track this weekend, Sal, with no testing and with the new reconfiguration and paving there. It was a slippery slope, to say the least, for a lot of drivers during practice. And Eric Jones was the one who figured it out the best, that's for sure, for the Xfinity Series.
Yeah, you know, it kind of was, but then you also got to, you know, always go on the fact, you know, these are professional drivers. You know what, they can go out to a track and they can run, you know, go out there, you know, it's somewhat of a setup, right out of the trailer, and then, you know what, make a few adjustments here and there, you know, and by halfway, three quarters through, you know, even the first practice, you know, they have an idea of what they're doing. I mean, that's why they're professionals, you know. I kind of think that might be one of the reasons why NASCAR didn't allow them practice. Another reason is probably because they wanted to have a more even playing field, you know, up and down, you know, to the standings, to the racing, which we did see it. You know, Darrell Wallace, you know, picked up a sixth place finish. Matt Tift, you know, in ninth, you know, and you know, you even some of the other Ryan Sieg, you know, top 20 finish, you know. So I mean, you know, you look up and down the board, and then of course, you know, you had Joey Logano had his issues, you know, finishing 34th. But it was good like I said, because we had a full field of cars, and I think everybody wanted to get out there and see what this new track was going to be like.
Absolutely, and they did have some good racing with the stage racing there too. Now I want to get over to the Cup Series. Jimmy Johnson won that. A lot of people thought maybe he was struggling this season. We hadn't seen him up at the front that much, especially with his finishes in the previous races so far this season. So I think he quieted quite a few people this weekend with that victory at Texas Motor Speedway. Now, Kyle Larson, again, a second-place finish for Kyle Larson. Joey Logano came in third, Kevin Harvick fourth, and Dale Jr., another driver that's been struggling up to this point, came home with a fifth-place finish. So pretty fantastic there.
Oh, yeah, you know what? And like you said, you know, you're going over with Jimmy Johnson's win and Kyle Larson with another second-place finish. But you know what? You got to look at Joey Logano, man. That guy was nowhere to be found all day. And that's one of his stronger tracks, you know. And he played the pit strategy kind of like what Chad Finley did. You know, he played the pit strategy, and it almost worked. it almost worked for him, but,
yeah,
you know, once again, you know, he still came up with a good solid. Yeah, top three finish. But, man, Jimmy Johnson just really shined, you know. I mean, he started at the back of the pack, you know, again, you know, because of, you know, not making it through pre-qualifying tech and, you know, worked his way up. And you know, and then you mentioned Dale Earnhardt Jr., you know, finally, you know, grabbing a top five finish, you know. And it was neat to hear Dale's comment, you know, even though he didn't make it through tech, you know, time to qualify, you know, he didn't have nothing bad to say, you know, he didn't say, oh, you know, this rule sucks or whatever, you know, he went with it, rolled with it, you know, what it is, and you know, went out there, but the bad luck driver you had to feel bad for, Sharon, was Ryan Blaney winning the first two stages and then, you know, end up finishing 12th, you know. I thought he was going to win the race. I thought he was going to win all three races on the race. He was just super fast, super strong.
Yeah, he had a very strong car. He came home 12th overall at the end of the night and did really well. Now, Dale Earnhardt Jr., I think you referenced this, was one of the drivers that did not pass the pre-race inspection qualifying inspection, one of those two. And as a result, they had to start at the back of the field. So he had to race his way from the back to the front, along with several top drivers. But he was one of the ones that really raced to the front there. Some of the other drivers in the top 10 include Brad Keselowski in sixth. Jamie McMurray, I thought, had a decent race. Martin Truex Jr. in eighth, Chase Elliott ninth, and Kurt Busch finished 10th. I'm going to go ahead and say Clint Bowyer came home with an 11th place finish. So there's some good strong signs showing up there at Stewart Haas Racing.
Oh, yeah. You know, not only the Stewart Haas Racing, but the Fords in general. You know, you know what? You got to wonder, where is Jack Roush? Here are all the other Fords are doing good. You know, Kurt Busch wins the – you know, starts the season off with the Daytona 500 win, and Brad wins, not this past week, but the week before, you know, and where's Jack Roush in all this? You know, where's...
Well,
I mean,
I'll tell you
even,
what, there's...
Even No Neck got a win. Ryan Newman.
Who's No Neck? Okay, but yeah, okay, that's...
That's a Chevy.
RCR, right, that's Chevy.
Yeah, that's a Chevy.
But now,
yeah.
Going back to your original question before we go up in 20 different directions here, going back to your original question about Roush Fenway Racing, there have been some signs that they're showing signs of a bit of a turnaround. And, you know, Ford, I think, was in a position where – you know, if they stuck with Jack Roush as their leading organization, they were stagnating very quickly there, as were all of the drivers, and there were some mass exoduses with Matt Kenseth leaving, followed by Carl Edwards, and before that, there were other drivers that were leaving that organization. So we knew that there were problems at Roush Fenway Racing leading up to this season. Ford, worked with Penske. They changed from Dodge into Ford, showed success right away. So that tells you something right there, that something's wrong. And I'm sure Ford saw that as well. They brought in Stuart Haas Racing this season into the Ford camp, and some of their drivers are starting to show some good progress under the Ford banner. So, yeah, we do see Ricky Stenhouse Jr. had a 14th place finish. Trevor Bayne came home with a 13th place finish. They went from a 4-car operation to just a 2-car operation. So I think it's an example of an organization taking 2 steps back in order to take 1 step forward. And hopefully they're doing what Toyota has done so well in the previous years, that they're sharing a lot more information to help all teams do well. So and I think that could be a big part of it. And, as I mentioned earlier, there's going to be an article out on Fan for Racing tomorrow that you guys can read more about the stats behind that.
Yeah, you make a lot of good points, but how do you let a Greg Biffle go but can you keep a Ricky Stenhouse?
Well, here's the thing. The problem with Greg Biffle is they could not find sponsorship for him. They were finding sponsorship for Stenhouse.
Oh, yeah, which is true,
and
yeah.
As you know, that's what it's all about, Sal. If you've got sponsorship, you stay. If
Plus
you don't get the sponsorship, you got to go.
Plus he's old. You know, you have the youth in Stenhouse and Trevor Bayne.
Exactly. So that's what they have to look at, is their future versus their past. And, that is something that has been a problem at Roush Fenway going back a long way, where they have difficulty getting sponsorship for some of the drivers that are getting a little bit older. So sponsorship is for those young guys coming up. And if they can get that ship turned around at Roush Fenway Racing and show the same kind of success that they're seeing at Penske, and I think we will see from Stuart Haas Racing. If they don't, then that organization's in bigger trouble than we think. But I do think we're seeing some signs that they're starting to get that ship turned around.
Yeah, and how about Kyle Larson leading the points? I mean, this is something that I don't think anybody expected this season. You know, I mean, sure, he came in with high hopes, but I don't think the hopes were high enough, that him and Chase Elliott would be 1 and 2 in the points.
I know, that's pretty fantastic. Kyle Larson has been doing quite well this season. He is leading the points right now. Chase Elliott is second, followed by Martin Truex Jr., Brad Keselowski, and Joey Logano. So those guys are doing very, very well. And when you talk about the future of this sport, it's drivers like Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott that are going to carry this sport forward. Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski, nor Martin Truex Jr., are old by any means, but they're going to have to race with these young guns for that championship, I think, this year.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? And you bring up Brad Keselowski, 2 race wins already, but he doesn't have a stage win yet this season. And he's sitting 4th in points. You got Kevin Harvick, who has 3 stage wins, he's down, at the bottom. And actually, Jimmy Johnson made a big move, moved up to 11th. But, you got to look at what these stage wins are going to mean, with Truex already having 4 stage wins. I mean, he's having a phenomenal season, And Truex was way overdue. I mean, he's a really good driver, and the team has just really stepped it up this season.
Well, stage wins mean a great deal, and it's going to make a difference in this championship before it's all said and done. Now, Brad Keselowski, he does have 10 playoff points that he has accumulated, and that's going to be big when the playoff begins. So watch these stage race winners because it is going to have an impact on the playoffs this season. Now, Sal, I do have some audio here from Jimmy Johnson. I'm not going to play the whole thing because it's a 13-minute segment, but we'll get his initial comments. I just want to mention Jimmy Johnson and a lot of the drivers actually were complaining of the heat in their cars from Texas Motor Speedway this weekend. It was pretty darn hot in there. I guess there was a malfunction of his system that provides air throughout the race, and so he had to go to the medical center right after the race and get checked out. They gave him 3 bags of fluid, and he
wow.
had a little recovery there. So, yeah, and they'll talk about that a little bit in these post-race comments. So I'm going to go ahead and
Yeah, you know, I got one question. The moderator always says, does anyone have a question? I always raise my hand. How come he never calls me?
Who?
The moderator. You know, every time we play these audios, he says, does anybody else have a question? And my hand is raised, but he never calls me to ask a question.
I don't know, Sal. Did you really think I would have an answer for that? Okay.
I'm just having
now
so
that
fun
we've stalled a few more minutes here.
I know. I'm just
okay.
having some fun with you, okay? All right.
Okay. Okay. Let's listen to Jimmy Johnson here.
Okay.
All right, if I can have your attention, we're now joined by the winner of today's O'Reilly Auto Parts 500, Jimmy Johnson, driver of the number 48 Lowe's Chevrolet. This is his record 7th Cup win at Texas Motor Speedway. His 6th victory in the last 10 races here at the Speedway. He moved into sole possession of 2nd for most wins here at the track behind Kyle Busch, who has 13. Your first win of the season for Hendrick Motorsports, and this is the 4th different track where you have 7 or more victories. I guess, first off, more importantly, how are you feeling?
Much better now. I thought I was – I got my heat issue. I got out of the car, and I was really hot and felt much better there and was on the right path, I felt like. And then I was doing an interview with Claire, and I felt my back lock up and then my chest and my arms, and I was starting to cramp everywhere. So that was an immediate trip to the Info Care Center to get some IVs. So – had 3 bags of IV and feeling a ton better now.
First, talk about the challenges. There was a lot of unknowns, but you guys answered them. It's obviously Texas is a track that just you guys have success at.
Yeah, I'm really, really surprised that we won here. I feel like whenever there's a repave, I think it doesn't fit my style. I suffer more than anyone. I also feel like it kind of lends itself to the new guys coming in, the brave ones, the ones that haven't hit many walls yet. And, to go out and score one for the old guys today feels pretty good.
We'll go ahead and open up for questions. If you could raise your hand. We'll start off with Jerry, and then we'll go Joe, Bob, and then Brant.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net, Performance Racing Network. 2 weeks ago, you burned me down to California for asking the question. You know, I guess you're washed up, you know, has been. obviously, rally from the back today. Talk about your run.
Just a great race car, and it was nice to really execute all day long. I think we've just been trying too hard. You know, we won the championship, obviously, last year, and I feel like we have good cars and want to come out and be aggressive. And to dial in right at 100% is just tough to do. And pit road speeding violations, spinning out, crashes, you know, all those things, just not executing cleanly as a group put us where we were. And then to come out today and really face a lot of adversity, starting last, the way stage 2, the strategy worked out, I think I restarted 21st, and then to be able to drive from there all the way up to 2nd, there's a lot of close calls with traffic and lappers. The groove was very, very narrow, and fortunately started widening out just a little bit as the afternoon proceeded on. But we executed top to bottom today, and that's what we needed to do.
To the left, Joe.
Okay, Sal. Again, I didn't play the whole audio there, but we got a few comments from Jimmy Johnson from, you know, right after winning in the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500 at Texas Motor Speedway this weekend. He talks a little bit about some of the changes to the track as the race progressed there. And I'm sure as the weekend progressed, they saw quite a few changes.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they did. I mean, you know, he talked a little bit about it. Plus, you know what, for those of you that watched the race, you know, you've seen some of the, you know, some of the, like we like to say, you know, some of the drama that played out, you know, some of the drivers, you know, who were up there. I mean, Kevin Harvick was leading and ended up, you know, it's the stage racing is, we've seen a big part of it last week with of course, with the Kyle and Stenhouse thing, you know, and then, you know, it's just, it, you know, they're taking it a lot more serious now, and actually it's making for better racing.
Mm-hmm. It really is, Sal. And, you know, I have to say I'm really enjoying the stage racing so far this season. And as we mentioned a little earlier, I think it's going to make a difference when it comes to the playoffs this season. But let's get into and set up your next guest that's coming in. This guy is a race car driver, but he does so much for the community. And let's give a little preview of Carlos Vieira here.
Yeah, Carlos Vieira is he's from the northern. Well, not really the northern part of California. It's kind of like, I guess you can call it central, from the Bakersfield area around there. And you know, Carlos has done a lot. You know, not only in getting involved in racing, but, you know, what he's done, you know, with it, you know, with his foundations, you know, he's got a few of them. He's got the Race for Autism. He does a Gloves Not Drugs, which he's had Evander Holyfield, ex-champion, boxing champion, involved with that. And, you know, Raced in Stigma, you know, and you know, he does a lot for the local community, you know, around where he lives. And he's got an interesting story when you ask him why his energy drink is called 5150. And there was last year there was a lot of controversy over it. A girl who had mental issues, you know, she kind of challenged Carlos on it, and it turned out to be a really good story at the end of a few months, but it took place. But you know what he's done for racing. He sponsors. He helps the Can-Am West Series at here in Sonoma. You know, and does a lot. You know, sponsors a lot of races around. Helps the SRL Series, and you know he's one of the racers, you know, that gives back, you know, to the community. You know, he doesn't really take much, but he gives a lot back.
He gives a lot back, and he does a lot of great things. I was looking at the Carlos Vieira Foundation, and it just looks to me like through his foundation, he really gives back a lot to the community and to people who can really use that kind of support. You know, the fact that he's a race car driver, too, and he drives a 5150 race car in the Spears SRL Tour. We mentioned earlier he's a teammate to Derek Thorne through his Campbell Motorsports. Is he racing the whole season, Sal?
I'm pretty sure he does. He does do the whole the complete Southwest SRL Tour, and then every year he does. Every year he makes it out and puts a car together, you know, to run Sonoma, the Can-Am West race over in, you know, on the road course, you know, so it's always neat to see him out there. And he has a booth set up out there, and, you know, they're, you know, promoting, you know, all his foundations, you know what, and, you know, and like I said, you know, just always, you know, giving back, you know what, and it's neat to see somebody do that, because when you first see Carlos Vieira, you would, and I'm going to tell him this too, because when I first met Carlos, man, I thought, man, this guy is going to kick my butt, man. He is pretty mean looking. But he's got a heart of gold. Yeah, he's when you meet him, Sharon, he's something else. But man, he's got a heart of gold.
Yeah, and it's very obvious. I mean, I'm looking at the foundation page, right now, and their projects include Race for Autism, Race to End the Stigma, Race 28, Drug Free, Gloves Not Drugs, and Amazon Smile. All very, very worthy efforts. They have a direct health grant program, and there's a lot of ways that people can get involved in helping to support those projects. And him and the foundation are very, very active, to say the least. So.
And you know what he did one season? He called it the money car, and I'll never forget it. And he took it to all the races, and you know people were, you know, he was trying to fill one of his race cars up with money, so they, you know, they put money into the car. It was a really neat thing, you know, and it was neat to see it. And you know, I'm not sure how much he made for, you know, for the foundation, but it was kind of neat to see all the people, all the kids and stuff, you know, go up and throw money into the car, you know, trying to fill it. I'm not sure. I got to ask him if he had a contest, you know, to try and figure out how much money, you know, would fit inside the car. But it was neat, you know, to see that car out there and all the events.
Absolutely. So I know he'll be here momentarily, and we'll bring him into the queue as soon as he arrives. But Sal, you interact with him quite a bit at the racetracks. You mentioned that he's very involved at Irwindale Speedway and so forth. You brought up the money car, which is a great memory and a great visual. Are there any other highlights that kind of stand out for you with Carlos Vieira and his involvement?
Yeah, you know, he got a late model win a few weeks ago over at Madera Speedway. You know, and it was a win, you know, that has eluded him. You know, and he finally got it, you know what, and it was neat because, you know, of course he thanked everybody, but, you know, basically Derek Thorne was there and all of the Campbell Motorsports team went to help him, you know, with the late model, and he ended up bringing home the victory. You know, it was big for Carlos. I talked to him after the victory when I seen him over here at Irwindale, and he was just really, really stoked about it.
Yeah, I think that's the car that we have the picture of is that race winning car. And Carlos is here now, Sal, if you want to go ahead and do the lead in for him.
Yeah, our next guest is he races in the Spears SRL Tour. He's also a K&N West driver, and like me and Sharon were talking earlier, you know what, he does just so much for the community through his foundations, you know, and he's, you know, always giving back to the community, you know, and you know, so, you know, without taking up any more time, you know, let's welcome Carlos to the show, and you know, and let's get a little bit of the background, you know, not only on his last win, but also, you know, we'll give him a chance, you know, to talk about his foundations and, you know, websites and, you know, how, you know, people can interact with them. So with that, we want to welcome Carlos to the show.
Hey, Sal, how's it going?
It's going good. Just sitting here waiting for you to call in. And gosh, it's been a while. You know, me and Sharon have been talking, you know, about getting you on the show, you know, to talk about, you know, of course, you know, the big win at Madera, you know, the big late model win. But, you know, and I know that's, racing is in your heart, but I know, but there's bigger things in your heart, which is your foundations.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what kind of started all the racing. The racing is what helped me launch the foundation, you know. I mean, it was one of those things when I first started racing 10 years ago, I saw an opportunity going to the track, and, you know, my team was at that time was created just with a whole bunch of friends of mine from high school, and we just had this, you know, dream of ours to go racing. And so when I got to the track and saw the teams out there, and we were approached by Valley Children's Hospital to help raise money for that hospital there in the Fresno area, and you know, we just started raising money for the hospital, and then we wanted to do more, and it just kind of took off. You know, the racing and the race community, they you know, they support each other. And just like the first day I showed up at racing at the track with no experience, you know, the other teams were willing to step up and help out. And it just kind of grew from there. And so now our foundation is all over the country, you know, all over the state of California. We supply grants to a family. I mean, it's a lot of great things we're doing, but it wouldn't be possible without the racing community.
You know, Carlos, and it's kind of interesting because, you know, I know people have asked you, you know, an energy drink, 5150, you know, I mean, it's, you know, energy drinks are, their sole purpose is to give you energy, you know, then you name it 5150, you know, and I know there was a little bit of that controversy last year, you know, they came about it, you know, but there's an interesting story behind why you named your team 5150.
Yeah, well, it kind of started because I needed a number, right? So I wanted 10 years ago, I decided to go racing. I needed a car number, and so I just my friends talking about, you know, how crazy I was for, you know, starting racing at the age of 35, and also because, you know, there's risk involved, and I think actually my whole life I think was about taking risk in life and taking chances, and you know, I think a lot of my successes are because I wasn't afraid to do those, you know, chances or take those chances. And, you know, I wasn't listening to the people around me when they said, Carlos, you know, you're not going to be able to do it and this and that. And so I just put it together and created, you know, the 5150 logo, which is my number 51 and the word 50 spelt out underneath it. Created a logo, put it on the hood of the car to kind of show what I believe in about, you know, everything I just said. And I just started going racing, and they liked the logo. They started learning about what it means and what it stood for. Now it's not about the California legal code. It's about believing in yourself and taking chances. And my big belief is, you know, while you're reaching, you know, your dreams or while you're reaching success, help out people along the way. You know, I mean, I've been blessed. I've had so many people in life help me throughout the years. You know, and I know I've been through some tough times in my life where if the people around me didn't support me, you know, there's a good chance I wouldn't be here where I'm at. So it's about, to me, you know, while you're making dreams come true, while you're making your money, while you're chasing whatever, you know, help the people that are less fortunate. And that's what the Carlos Vieira Foundation is about.
You know, and then actually going for the foundation, let's talk about a little bit about your race win up here in Madera. You know, I know that was another highlight too this season. You know, to start it off, you know, in the late model, you know, and you know, put a spanking, you know, some of those Madera boys out there.
yeah, it was awesome. You know, it was awesome. My first racing experience was in a regular late model, and you know, that was in what, 2007, 2008, and then 2009, I got my first win there at the Altamont in my late model. Well, I quickly jumped into a tour car, and you know. Didn't have very much experience, you know, in tour car, man, that SRL series, you know, there's a lot of competition when you get to that, you know, that level. And so it was a long time coming, you know. Madera Speedway is where I started my racing career, you know, and so to go back to that track and bring home a win in the tour car was just an awesome experience, you know. It goes to show, you know, never giving up. That's our whole, you know, our whole motto with 5150, you know, we don't believe in giving up, and it's been a long time racing tour cars, and to finally bring home a win and be on my home track was totally cool.
Yeah, and you know, and with that, Carlos, you know, I'm gonna turn it over to the host of the show, Sharon. I know she's got a few questions, you know, that she wants to ask.
All right, Sharon, how's it going, Sharon?
It's going great, Carlos. Thank you for being here tonight. I've really been looking forward to chatting with you. I hear so many great things about what you do in the racing community and communities in general there in California. But I want to read the mission that you have in the About Us section at 5150, your website. It says, "We at 5150 celebrate those who throw caution to the wind and aren't afraid to take risk. We applaud those who push the limit and don't back down from any challenge. And we hold in high regard anyone crazy enough to chase their dreams." I think that's a great statement.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, and that's what we try to, you know, put out to the community. You know, everybody can make it. You know, everybody can make it in life. People just have to believe. And to me, that's one of the words that always come to my mind is believe. You know, I always believe I can achieve whatever I put my mind to it. And all it takes is the desire to want to do it. You know, if you have enough desire in your gut that you wake up every day saying, you know what, I'm going to make this happen, you know, anybody can achieve anything. And that's what I believe in, even the people around you. Trust me, I've been through some things in life, and people are going to try to hold you down, keep you down, kick you while you're down, and it's about, you know, just believing who you are, you know, and going after it. And I think I hope everybody in life goes after their dreams. That's what it's about. You know, you have a short time in this world. So, you know, make everything, you know, do everything you can to reach your goals. And I believe that.
Absolutely. And it shows that you believe that when you talk about racing at 35 and getting behind the wheel and following your dream there, and all of the great things that you do with your foundation. We talked a little bit earlier. We know that you support the, you know, autism awareness and the Race for Autism, but there's so many other things that you're doing with that as well, with the Race to End the Stigma, Race to Be Drug-Free, the Gloves Not Drugs, and the Amazon Smile. Those are all great causes that you're behind. And I got to think, Carlos, that you are an inspiration to those people that you touch, not only in the racing community, but through your foundation as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, and yeah, it's the Race for Autism what kind of started it all. But, you know, soon afterward, I see a need, you know, here in the Central Valley. You know, the drug problem and the gang problem is pretty bad. And so I want to give, you know, I believe that people, when they're bored, they're going to do bad things. When you're bored, you're going to do, you know, you're going to get habits maybe that are not, you know, not positive habits. And, you know, racing is a great habit to have. You know, we're passionate about racing. We always want to be racing, which I think is a positive habit to have. But there's bad ones out there. And drugs, of course, is one. Hanging out with gang life and getting thrown in jail, of course, another. So we provide a safe place where kids can go to after school free to charge. So we got 4 facilities right now in Merced County where kids can go to after school and hang out, learn the sport of boxing, be amongst good people, learn teamwork and all the positive things that go along with the sport of boxing. But we also, you know, send speakers to schools. In fact, this coming up Wednesday and Thursday, we got a guy coming in with a story to tell about how he fought, you know, drug abuse and survived, you know, but he lost everything and you know, he's now telling a story. So we were sending him to a few schools here around Merced County. And then the whole Race to Be Drug Free is the whole, you know, that what Sal was talking about. You know, there's people that, you know, there's a stigma behind mental illness. And to me, you know, I think everyone should talk about it. If you have mental problems, you know, you have mental health issues, you know, talk about it. Go look for help. You know, don't feel like you have to keep it to yourself because it's very common and people need to go out there and talk about it and not be afraid to be categorized or whatever. And so that's a new campaign. We just started not too long ago, but we're doing fundraisers and donating that money to organizations that help families suffering with mental illness. Our next one is in May, in fact. It's a mud run happening in Lathrop next month. And so we're asking people to go out there, support the mud run, and all that money is going to be donated to organizations in our area.
That's fantastic. Thank you for the great work that you're doing out there and with your 50-50 energy drink and the Carlos Sierra Foundation. I think it's fantastic. And with that, I'm going to pass it back to Sal.
Thanks, Sharon.
You know, Carlos, it was neat, you know, to hear all that, you know, and Hachi said it, you know, we get a lot of drivers on here, you know, and you know, they talk about some of the foundations, but I mean, like I was telling Sharon earlier and even last week and the week before, you know, before we had John, you know, I said, Carlos is really something different. I said, he's into a lot of stuff. I said, and it's neat. I said, to see how much he gives back. I said, you know, you hear a lot of drivers giving back. You know, but the one thing that I really want to touch on, you know, was getting Byron Campbell involved, you know what, and joining up, you know, with the Campbell Motorsports organization, you know, and now starting to see, you know, Derek Thorne, you know, wearing the Race for Autism gear, you know, and it seemed like it looks like it's a really good partnership there.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. You know, first and foremost, great people. I mean, just good human beings willing to help and just, you know, a lot, you know, you can just tell when you're hanging out with them that, you know, they want nothing but the best for the people around them. And, you know, Byron, I sit down with Byron, talk to him quite often when I'm at the racetrack. And, you know, good, you know, businessman, you know, we relate a lot because he's you know, he's in the produce business and so am I. And, you know, him and Carol are just good people. And then Derek, of course, the best, you know, he has so much talent, that just listening to him, it's helping me out, you know, and you know, him coaching me a little bit of some of these tracks that we're going to is just totally helping me out. And Mike Keene, you know, he's another guy that's so passionate about the sport. He's out there, you know, working on the cars every day, you know, and it's a blessing to have him and the whole team there in the shop getting the cars ready, and all I need to do is show up and do my thing. And it's just, it's really awesome. It's a blessing, and I can't thank them enough for allowing me to come back for a second year and go racing with them. It's awesome.
You know what, and actually it was kind of neat last year at Kern when you and Derek finished first and second, you know, and to see the, you know, smile on, not only on your face, but to see the smile on Byron's face, you know, when he went over there to congratulate you, you know, and it was, you know, it was really a special moment, you know, between the both of, you know, to see, you know, how far you've come, you know, in just that, short amount of time, like you said, you know, working with Mike and, you know, and the rest of the Campbell Motorsports team.
Yeah, that was awesome. You know, Byron believed in me that I can do well, and you know, he saw me racing against him, you know, and other, for other teams, or not for other teams, but for other crew chiefs and so forth. But you know, he believed in me. He says, Carlos, you got talent. You know, we're gonna get you up front and racing against the people up front and bring home some wins. And so that 1-2 finish was totally cool. And I remember that day very well. And then to come out this year and the first race of my season, you know, to come out there and win was awesome. And I'm just hoping for some more great finishes this year.
And you know what, that with those finishes, Carlos, you know what, I mean, you've already had the respect of your fellow drivers, but I mean, you know what, with that win and, you know, the good finishes, of course, you know, that comes with more, you know, with more respect for the drivers. You know, they look, you know, especially, you know, the younger ones, you know, they're coming through the, you know, through the program right now, you know, they're starting to look up to you. And, you know, we see like Austin Edwards, you know, at the age of what, 12 years old, 10, I don't know, 10, 12, 13 years old, you know, and what he's doing, you know, with his little foundation with that pause thing, you know, and it's neat because these are the future Carlos Vieiras, you know, and, you know, that are coming up.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And that's what it's about too. You know, it's just, you know, these kids, if they can continue doing what they're doing, you know, do as much racing as you can, but just, you know, don't forget about trying to do something. Do something more than that. You know, it can't all be about racing, you know. We have passion for it. But, you know, there's other things in life that are important as well. And so I'm happy to hear what you're saying, Sal. And I hope I can influence these young kids. I really do. We can all try to make a difference in this world.
You know what, it's just being the example. You know what, anybody can go out and talk it, but you know what, being the example, you know, and showing it, you know what, that's what makes the biggest impact. You know, I mean, I'm like as old as, like Byron says, he goes, you're as old as Noah, you know, which isn't true because I think Byron's older than me, but, you know, either way, you know, but you know what. But be that example, you know what, is the key, you know, to everything, you know what, and you are the example because it's I mean, look at it, rubbed off on Byron and Derek.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the things right in the beginning, they say that they loved what I was doing for the Race for Autism. They wanted to be a part of it and they wanted to give back, and that's what they're doing. We're out there raising awareness, raising money, and our grant program now is in the Kern County area as well. So families living with autism from Bakersfield all the way up to Shasta, you know, past Sacramento, there's 21 counties there that can go to our website, the CarlosVieiraFoundation.org website, and find the help that they need. You know, they can we'll provide that family with something that directly helps that kid with autism. And we want to continue to grow. I mean, I'm hoping one day we'll be throughout California, you know, and then grow from there. But it's because of people like Byron and Carol to be willing to, you know, step up and donate their time and money and everything to make it happen.
Yeah, and with that, you know, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
So, you know, getting back to your racing with Campbell Motorsports and Derek Thorne, are you racing the whole season this year, Carlos?
I'm doing the entire SRL series. I'm going to do a few PCS races, and I'm going to go do the Sonoma, the K&N race there in Sonoma as well.
Yeah, Sal mentioned that. That's fantastic, and we'll definitely watch for that. Now, before you go, I want to make sure I give you a chance to shout out anybody else that you want to make sure you shout out, and, you know, people behind the scenes or whatever. And then I also would like to get your social media handle so fans know how they can follow you.
Right. Well, of course, I already, you know, I've mentioned the Byron Campbell Motorsports and Derek and Mike and everybody with the team for sure. You know, my foundation, I mean, just letting people know how to find out about what's going on with the foundation is important to me. You know, the Carlos Vieira Foundation.org. We're also on Facebook as well. But we got things going on every month. You know, it's for different causes. You know, we just finished doing something beginning of this. So April is Autism Awareness Month. And so April 2nd was Autism Awareness Day. And so we did a big day there at 5150 headquarters where it was a free day where any families living with autism come and we give them we feed them, we do a barbecue, we have bounce houses and clowns and magicians. And it was like just a day for families that can go there and feel comfortable being around other families. I only mention that is because so people know that we do that every year. We're actually going to be doing we're going south this year, so it's always here in Livingston. But this year I had a friend of mine that's donating his house in Visalia. So we're going to do a day of autism. It's going to be in September. So more information about that will be on our website and our social media as well. And like I said, all the different fundraisers we do. So I encourage people to go there and learn more about what we're doing. 5150 Energy Drink, of course, you know, it came about 5-6 years ago as a way to raise money. So anytime a can of 5150 Energy Drink is bought, a percentage of that can gets or the money goes towards our Race for Autism campaign. So we got, you know, 5150 Energy Drinks up and down California, so we encourage people to buy those as well. But, yeah, me personally, I mean, I'm just doing what I do, you know, and if they want to reach out to me, they can reach out at carlos@5150energydrink.com as a way to get a hold of me. And, yeah, I'm just appreciate you guys letting me be part of the show and wish, you know, everybody out there the best in the racing world.
Well, we're very thankful that you're able to be on the show tonight and talk about the Carlos Vieira Foundation and all the great things that you're doing there and to talk about your racing with the Spears SRL Tour this season. I thought it was really great chatting with you, and we hope you'll come back and visit with us again somewhere down the road, maybe before one of your big events. We can have you come back on and help promote that.
Sounds good, Sharon. I appreciate that. Sal, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Carlos, for coming on.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Okay. Take care, Carlos. All right, Sal. That was really great to talk with Carlos Vieira. I've heard so many great things about what he's doing out there, and you can tell he's very motivating.
Oh, yeah, he is. You know what? And the thing is, Sharon, is that he's the real deal. You know, he's you know, he's not just, you know, blowing, you know, hot air, and just, you know, trying to talk
a
good game.
It's
not a smoke screen. No, he is the real deal. You know what? And like I said, I mean, I remember when I first met him, I've known him for a while now, he's just a really, really super good guy. You know what? And he has a heart for the people.
Absolutely, absolutely, and a lot of energy, a lot of that 5150 energy goes a long way, it sounds like, out there in California, and we certainly wish him the best in the SRL Spears Southwest Touring Series with Campbell Motorsports as well. So, Sal, we're coming up to the close here of the show. I just want to mention that next week, I made an announcement earlier. I'm going to have another announcement next week for our listeners. So you'll want to make sure you tune in next week. And also, we've got some guests lined up for the next 2 or 3 weeks here. In fact, starting with Patrick Staropoli, he's going to be back on the show next Monday night, so definitely looking forward to talking to him. He just won a race, and he's going to talk a little bit about that. And he's also just graduated. He's an official doctor now, Sal.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. You know, we've seen him, go from the, from winning the one contest to actually, I was at Erdell when he won his first Can-Am West race.
The Peak Stock Car Challenge.
Yeah, the Peak Stock Car Challenge, and after that, then he jumps in a Bill McAnally race car and wins over at Erdell.
Yep. He's done really, really well, and what's amazing about it, Sal, is he's been able to do that while going to school for becoming a doctor. So he's got his degree now, and he's still racing. It's both of those things are his passion, and we'll talk to Patrick more about that next Monday night. So fans, we'll have that to look forward to, and we'll start right here at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Sal, I know you've been at the racetrack. What's up for this weekend?
Easter Sunday.
Oh, Easter, that's right. Nobody's racing this weekend.
There will be some racing, but Sandy tried to pull a fast one and say, hey, for your birthday, I'm going to take you to go see on Sunday, she's taking me to go see Beauty and the Beast. And I said, that's all I want to do for my birthday. I said, that's what you want to do. She was like, you know, her thing, this week he said, wow, you need to learn how, here I'm doing something really super special for you, and you're acting like that. Acting like what?
Aww.
I want to see that movie. She's the one that wants to see it. She would have bought
tickets. Well, you never know what could be behind that, though, Sal. There could be something more to that.
She knows I don't eat cake, so I know there's no cake.
Oh, okay.
But it was just kind of funny, the way she said it. She goes, I bought us tickets for Beauty and the Beast at the El Capitan. It's an old theater here in Hollywood, and what they do is they have like a little interactive display and all that, and you buy the tickets, you see it in a big screen old theater, and and everybody that's seen Beauty and the Beast, it's a big fan, that's where they go. I mean, any Disney movie, you want to go see it at the El Capitan.
There you go. Now, Sal, I know it's your birthday, so we can't let you leave without this.
You got to play the Beatles.
Yeah, exactly. So what day is the big day?
It's next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, the 18th?
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess I could do this next week too, but we'll alert fans now that you've got a birthday coming, and I know there'll be a week-long celebration.
Nah, you know what? I'm the type that I celebrate it once and that's it. Sandy will celebrate hers for the whole month until people forget about it. And it's funny because we just went to one of her friends, talked to one of her friends, and she still celebrated her birthday too. And that's like 3 weeks already. And she goes, well, because – this person couldn't make it, so I have to go celebrate with them. I'm like, what the heck are you talking about?
Oh, but, we've done that before, too.
Oh, they do it every year, and it's amazing.
Yeah,
women will celebrate their birthday for a whole month. Oh, yeah, they'll celebrate it for a whole month. The guy, one or twice, and that's it, they're done. We're done. I'm done celebrating. I don't want to celebrate no more.
Oh, okay, well... it's coming up, so be prepared for next week, Sal. We're going to be celebrating. Go ahead.
Yeah, and actually she got me tickets for to go see Billy Joel at Dodger Stadium in May.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah, so that'll be good.
That sounds like fun, too. And I heard you say May, so that sounds like a month-long celebration to me.
It'll be one Benihana's dinner, and that's it.
Oh, okay. I just had to yank your chain a little bit there.
Yeah, it'll be one Benihana's dinner.
Oh, okay. So I hope everybody enjoys the off week this week. If you're celebrating Easter or just enjoying the spring that's coming here, we hope everybody enjoys the time off. I'll look forward to chatting with you. And Sal, we appreciate everything you do here at Fan for Racing. And we'll look forward to chatting with you again next Monday night. That's April the 17th, starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Definitely looking forward to chatting with you then.
All right. Well, everybody have a good a good weekend, Easter weekend coming up, and be safe out there. And, you know, I guess we'll talk to everybody next Monday.
Okay. Take care, Sal, and enjoy.
Okay, thank you.
We'll call that a wrap.
All right.
Okay, good night.
Okay, good night.